Well, welcome back, all new and returning listeners to MTG Eternities. This is your host, Carl. Hopefully everyone had a good Amonkhet pre-release. I know mine was pretty exceptional. We went to the midnight pre-release at my local game store. I went with a red-black Rakdos theme deck, and I did pretty well on it. Ended up going to 10 o'clock in the morning, unfortunately, but that's what happens when you have 61 people at your tournament. Ended up going to top two, and then top two didn't want to split, so we played it out, and the end of the night, won myself an Amonkhet box. So I'm pretty ecstatic about the weekend. I just barely opened the Amonkhet box. If you haven't seen my Twitter, I posted what I got. Unfortunately, the box wasn't too great, but I'm not going to complain. I've effectively paid $30 to open roughly $250 worth in product. Off the top of my head, I know I got a Diabolic Edict. I got some Planeswalkers, a lot of land, some gods. Nothing too fantastic to write home about, but it's still pretty fun, all in all. So I don't know if anyone has seen the bannings. Hopefully you have by now. It's pretty late in the day, and hopefully you've checked. But if not, that's what I'm here for. So as I predicted last week, Standard and Modern did not see a ban. I didn't expect there to be a ban in either format. I had a slight suspicion that something out of Death Shadow might get banned, but if anything, it probably would have been Mishra's Bauble. My reasoning behind that is because it's too expensive for an uncommon, and I doubt they'll reprint it anytime soon, but maybe we'll get lucky in Modern Masters 4 or something. A lot of people expected a Standard banning, and as I stated last week, they will more than likely wait till the next major event to declare something banned in Standard. They want to gather their data. They want to make sure that everything goes according to plan with Amonkhet. So hopefully we will see a banning or a format adjustment once Amonkhet is fully introduced into the Standard environment. That being said, we did see a banning, however, in Legacy, which was what my surprise was for the day. I did not expect a Legacy banning out of all things. And unfortunately, it's a card that I really enjoy for a multitude of reasons. But Sensei's Divining Top is no longer legal in Legacy. Now, for those who don't know what Sensei's Divining Top is, it is a one-drop artifact, pay one mana, any color, look at the top three cards of your deck, you can rearrange them how you want. Tap Sensei's Divining Top, draw the top card of your deck, and return Sensei's Divining Top to the top card, to that place in the deck. So it allows you to draw a card for free, allows you to filter. Now, for those who don't understand what that would mean, in Legacy, it's very famous in one particular deck. Granted, there are a lot of decks that might use it, but in one deck in particular, that would be Blue-White Miracles. So Blue-White Miracles, for those who don't know, is a deck that plays a card called Counterbalance. Counterbalance reads, if an opponent would cast a spell, reveal the top card of your deck. If it shares mana cost with the card that was just cast, counter that spell. So you play Sensei's Divining Top turn 1. Optimally, turn 2, you play Counterbalance. You then start to filter through the top cards of your deck until you get what you need on top to start countering your opponent's spells. All the while, you're digging more for more cards in your deck. The goal of Miracles is to play the central cards that come into Miracles. So you have Terminus, and you have Entreat the Angels in the deck. So Entreat the Angels is the main win con, although it does run Jace the Mind Sculptor as well. I did see a variant run Batterskull on occasion, but that wasn't too often. So the reason why Sensei's Divining Top got banned is it made the deck itself too oppressive. It's the same reason why Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise got banned in Legacy and Modern. It made decks too consistent and too oppressive for other decks to compete with. So I do play Legacy. I haven't played it recently. I was playing a Mono Blue Omnishow deck before and after Dig Through Time got banned. And so I understand why Dig Through Time got banned. Yes, I was a little upset at the time it did, but I managed to get rid of all my foil Dig Through Times, $35 a piece. By some miracle, not gonna lie, it took some doing. But I got rid of all those cards for more lands that I could use, which is I'm fine with. I recently, unfortunately, had to part ways with Omnishow, but I'm working on a new Legacy deck, which I did think was probably going to see a ban, and that was, ironically enough, Eldrazi. Legacy Eldrazi I thought was going to see a ban of some kind, which is why I was hesitant on picking up most of the deck pieces up, at least up until now. So now I'm probably going to further invest into something. I don't know what would have been banned out of it, but to me the deck just seems like kind of odd to play almost exclusively all standard cards with a few legacy and modern cards tossed in and you have yourself a deck. If I had to guess, one of the things that might have been banned out of it, just to slow it down, might have been Eldrazi Mimic. That might not be the right call. You could probably ban something else, maybe Eye, but that's not the right call either. It was the right call in Modern when that ban happened, but that's for a different reason. So, unfortunately, going back to what I previously stated, Sensei's Divining Top is banned. Now, what does that mean? So, right now, Sensei's Divining Top is currently going for $8. And that's off Star City Games. I'm sure local game stores are selling them for a lot cheaper. The average has probably gone down even for the last I checked. Now, before Sensei's Divining Top was banned, it was going on average for $20. And if you opened Eternal Masters, the price used to be higher before Sensei's Divining Top got the new reprint in Eternal Masters. So where does that leave the top, and why is its price still pretty good despite it being nuked into oblivion? Well, Sensei's Divining Top is also a Commander staple, and unfortunately that is now where it's regulated to, is Commander, maybe some Vintage decks. Unfortunately, I do not play Vintage. I do not have that much money to play it. But you never know, one of these days, maybe I'll make enough money just random playing the lottery or something, and then I'll have myself a Vintage deck, but that's a different story for a different day. So what does that leave? Well, it leaves us currently stuck with Sensei's Divining Top being in EDH. It was banned in Modern, it'll probably never see play in Modern for the same reason it was just banned in Legacy. It makes decks too consistent, and it would make Miracles a thing in Modern, which a lot of people would like to see, is Miracles make it into Modern. But unfortunately, that's probably too powerful of a mechanic for anything to come into play like that and just start taking over and dominating things. It'd be almost the exact same reason why Troll was banned. Now, there are some few things which I was surprised that didn't get unbanned from the Modern list. There was some discussion at my local game store, and the three cards that we came into concession were Birthing Pod, Splinter Twin, and Stoneforge Mystic. So the reason why these three cards got banned initially was they were too oppressive. And they got banned quite some time ago with the exception of Splinter Twin. And formats have changed. So with Birthing Pod, if Birthing Pod got unbanned, the place it might take would be Coco decks, but Coco decks like getting two creatures, so it might go in addition to something. So you have the Morelia Pod deck, as it's formally named, probably becoming a better contender for that. So that's what the argument was for Birthing Pod. Well, we do have more hate for artifacts, especially with the release of Amonkhet. I don't think it's enough. So that was my reasoning for Birthing Pod staying banned. Now, with Stoneforge Mystic was super oppressive back in Standard because it was in the same rotation as Batterskull and Jace the Mind Sculptor. Now, I don't know if we want to give tutor effects back into Modern. The issue with that is tutor effects are super strong. And yes, we did just get a lot of hate for search cards with Amonkhet. We got Aven Mind Sensor reprinted back into Standard. I don't see Stoneforge Mystic coming back in. The swords aren't seeing a lot of play in most Modern environments right now. You do have Feast and Famine showing up on occasion. You do have Fire and Ice still showing up. But for the most part, the other three don't see heavy play, whereas Batterskull does. So the issue here is if Stoneforge Mystic becomes legal in Modern, you have Batterskull sitting on the sidelines just waiting to come out, waiting to get into play. Because of Stoneforge's Mystic's ability to search turn 2, turn 3, put it out into play, and then all of a sudden you have to deal with a Batterskull turn 3, which puts you on effectively a 4-turn clock. And that is provided that they don't have some other way that they haven't already dealt damage to you or something like that. So I don't see Stoneforge Mystic coming unbanned anytime soon. That does leave us with our third option in Modern, which is Splinter Twin. Splinter Twin has seen a lot of hate recently in the printing with Amonkhet, with the printings with Kaladesh, and the printings with Aether Revolt. You have Authority of the Council, you have some cards in Amonkhet that have artifacts come to play tapped, and creatures additionally come to play tapped. You have Thalia, stuff like that. So Splinter Twin, I think, has been slowed down enough to the point of which where you could argue that Splinter Twin could come back into Modern. So here's my thing. If Splinter Twin is unbanned from the Modern list, what you could do is instead, and I have heard the argument be made before, is instead of just releasing the deck as full, if you feel the deck is super oppressive still, what you could do is ban Deceiver Exarch. And here's my logic on why banning Deceiver Exarch is probably the better solution here. You have Pestermite and you have Bounding Krasis. With Bounding Krasis, it's a 3-3 flash that comes in, untaps or taps target creature, and Pestermite's a 2-1 with flash that untaps or taps target permanent. So you still have the option to tap stuff. The reason why these two solutions are better suited for the deck than Deceiver Exarch is it does give Burn a chance to deal with those two. Pestermite being a 2-1 and Bounding Krasis being a 3-3. Most of Burn's cards deal 3 damage. Whereas with Deceiver Exarch being a 1-4 toughness, you have the same issue that you see in Standard with Felidar Guardian. It's just too strong sometimes for Burn to deal with. And with allowing Burn to deal with things, you allow more variant in the format. Yes, removal is not the answer for killing creatures, but it might be the answer for this Splinter Twin thing. If you ban Deceiver Exarch and unban Splinter Twin, not only do you give access to red-blue to possibly make a comeback, you give control and combo a bit more variance, rather than it just being a aggro format, as Modern is right now. It's leaning more towards aggro. I do think it'll allow more variance in the format, especially if we ban Deceiver Exarch, which was the main problem. It'll allow more decks to deal with Twin. And with the current answers printed in Kaladesh, Aether Revolt, and Amonkhet 2 Twin, I think more decks stand a chance, and Twin should make numbers back, but will be severely cut down. Yes, it does suck, especially for, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but there's a video, kind of old now, of some guy burning some autographed foil Splinter Twins. I think they're all original too, and it sucks for him, but, I mean, that's why you don't burn your cards, especially, I mean, something that value at the time. It might get unbanned eventually, or you might find use for it in a different format. You never know. At least that's my advice to everyone. I joke about it all the time that, oh, I'm going to burn cards and stuff like that. Never, and I repeat, never actually burn your cards. You never know when they might come back or they might spike up in value or something like that. Worst comes to worst, you could always sell them and get your value back. So that leads me into my final topic for today, and that is the EDH bans. Now, I know a lot of players out there play EDH and a lot of people don't. It is a format that allows for a lot of variance, and it does have a ban list, surprisingly enough. Everyone thinks EDH is the Wild West. Well, unfortunately, it's not. At least as not much as it used to be before bans were actually brought to light. So, with that in mind, there was a ban. Leovold, Emissary of Trest, out of Conspiracy 2 was banned. And there was also an unbanning, which is the unbanning of Protein Hole. Now, for those people who don't know either one of these cards, I'll go over them here quickly, at least to the best of my knowledge. Leovold, Emissary of Trest, was a mythic rare out of Conspiracy 2. He reads, each opponent can draw more than one card each turn, which is the more important of his two abilities. And his other ability is, whenever you or a permanent you control is targeted by a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card. So it's pseudo-hexproof and pseudo-protection for all your creatures. But like I said, it's the first ability that's more important. So it only affects your opponents, and he's a 3-3 for 3. So the deck's super oppressive because you build windfall-like decks around him. So you get him out turn 3. Turn 4, if he still manages to cycle around the table before anyone deals with him, you just start windfalling. So the reason why that's oppressive is windfall is just an example I'm using. Windfall reads everybody discards the hand and then draws X, where X is the highest among players, so let's just say it's a full grip of 7. Because of the way Leovold reads, everyone else wouldn't draw anything, and you would draw all their cards, so preferably you have a maxed out hand size, just like with Reliquary Tower or something, and then you just take the game from there, because your opponents are now effectively on top deck mode for the rest of the game, and that's provided, of course, that you allow them to draw, because there are cards that say each player skips their draw step, and instead does something else. The deck is super not fun to play against. I've played against it several times, varying decks, and every time I've played it, it's usually either the first target at the table or second target at the table. It depends on what's at the table.
Usually Azur the Enchanter deck's just as bad, or Arkham Dags, and it really depends on who's playing them, who's piloting them, that sort of thing. And it's just super oppressive. I know a lot of players out there have had that experience against Leovold that they don't want to play against it, and if somebody says they have a Leovold deck, they'll just straight up refuse to play him. Speaking of Leovold, briefly, I know Tolarian Community College recently did a Leovold build, and unfortunately, because of this banning, that build, not obsolete, effectively it is with a commander, but you can still build the same deck, but you just have to find a different commander, so unfortunately there aren't cards that, to my knowledge, that do the exact same thing Leovold does. He's a one-of-a-kind, just like Sensei's Divining Top. So it's going to be a hard replacement for those players, unfortunately. And that does nuke the price of Leovold, both as expensive card in Conspiracy, although I do think he sees some play on occasion in Legacy and in Vintage, again, just really depending on the decks. But what was unbanned might have just as strong as an argument for remaining banned, and I was rather surprised by it. And that is a 7-drop 6/6 called Protein Hulk. And for those who don't know what Protein Hulk does, I'm just going to quickly summarize him. When he dies, you search your library for X creatures with the total cost of 6 or less. It's a strange card. Effectively what it does is, back in the day there used to be a Legacy deck called Flash Hulk. So you play a card called Flash, you'd flash Protein Hulk in, Protein Hulk immediately dies. So when he dies, you search your deck for a bunch of zero drops. So Ornithopter, Midnight, those aren't the cards you initially search. I'm just naming zero drops off the top of my head. But you get zero drops like those, they come into play. And then you'd get other cards like Disciple of the Vault, who's in play at the same time. And as soon as those cards start coming in, you just kill your opponent for 20 damage on the spot. Now, I don't know how it will necessarily work out in EDH. I do think that Protein Hulk, being the fact that he could search for 6 or less as a total, gives a lot of leeway to things. So Protein Hulk dies, let's say he does, and then I search out an Oracle of Moldiah and a Tarmogoyf for EDH, put them onto the battlefield. I could still get 0 drops and put those into play. Or let's just say I search out 6 like 1 drops or something like that. Now, 1-drops aren't the most oppressive thing ever, but there are some pretty weird combos that you can do with Protein Hulk being a green, effectively a green search card. Now, does that mean it's busted? No. There are things you could do to stop it. You can play Aven Mind Sensor. You can make your opponents just, like, tax, so they instead have to pay taxes to search their deck. You can play Torpor Orb so that whatever Protein Hulk comes out doesn't have an ETB effect or something. There are lots of ways in EDH to stop Protein Hulk. And unfortunately, he's starting to see a spike. I was looking at Amazon earlier today, and somebody's already selling Protein Hulks $35 a piece. I don't know whether or not that stands to the value of them. I checked Star City earlier today, and he was still at $6. And I highly doubt he jumped up that high in, I don't know, less than 2-3 hours. That seems a bit ridiculous to me. But only time will tell. If he is as busted as a lot of people thought he would be, especially in EDH, then he might need to go back on the ban list. But looking at all the other cards on the EDH ban list, he is one of the more quote-unquote fair cards. There are plenty of ways to stop him. At that same token, he might be just as annoying as Deadeye Navigator, which is a super unfun card if you ever had a chance to play EDH. And a lot of people have been demanding, just as they've demanded with Sensei's Divining Top for a few years now, that Deadeye Navigator get banned. But I don't know. It's one of those things that's just going to have to see testing for the next few months. Maybe they'll undo the decision. But the EDH banning committee doesn't ban and unban cards as willy-nilly as things might occur. They might take some time on this decision. They might wait a full year before declaring another banning or unbanning of a card for the EDH ban list. It's going to take time to see. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Let me know in the comment section down below. I'm open for any suggestions, tips you might have, and the future topics you might want to discuss. I'm all open for that. I do have a Twitter handle. Please follow me at MTG Eternities on Twitter. On YouTube, it's also MTG Eternities. Now, before I go, I would like to mention one last thing. Over the weekend, I did get a new logo. It is done by The Proxy Guy. You could follow him at Twitter at The Proxy Guy, T-H-E-P-R-O-X-Y-G-U-Y. or you could follow him on Snapchat by the same name, or if you want to get in contact with him, you could go to zeerbe.blogspot.com if you wish to get more proxies by him or custom artwork. That in mind, I would like to say all lines of thought are open for all magic seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.